This is the State of Things, broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Students of politics like to study successful campaigns to understand what's appealing to voters, but there's a lot to learn from defeat as well. Last September, the North Carolina Senate voted to put a constitutional amendment on the ballot that would define marriage as between one man and one woman. That night, equality activists held a gathering that they called Love Equals Love. They used that rally to organize the fight against the amendment. They took their cues partly from the success of the civil rights movement of the 50s and 60s, and partly from the success of the freedom movements of the Arab Spring. These movements used social networking to communicate across geographical barriers and to keep the message in the public view. Well, voters passed the amendment in May, but organizers against it have not given up the fight. A group called All of Us NC is an organization that was born of that fight against the marriage amendment. Together with Equality NC and many other grassroots groups, they've built a network of educated, active voters who hope to raise their voices again on Election Day in November. And to find out what they learned in the fight against Amendment 1, we have Jen Jones from Equality NC, Manju Rajendran, Tiffany Holland, Nego Crossan, all of them as part of a group called All of Us NC, and they are on the program today. Welcome to the State of Things. Nice to have you here.
Thank you.
Let's start with the Love Equals Love rally back in September. Manju, how did that night lead you to organize? Tell us about what was happening that night and what kind of came out of that.
There were several student leaders who spoke. Pam Spalding from Pam's Houseblend spoke, a prominent black blogger who's been really powerfully outspoken about the problems with the amendment. Reverend Dr. Barber closed out the evening, and at the end of the night, Reverend Dr. Barber is the state president of the North Carolina NAACP. And that at the end of that night, many of us lingered on the grass in front of Duke Chapel, and we cried and we talked about what this amendment would mean for us, what it would mean for our communities, and kind of what's it going to take to stop this thing.
Jen, was there a sense going into that rally that what would come out of it was an organization, or was it? Did you sort of see it as a one-time event?
Well, we saw that completely during the total legislative campaign. Everyone came out of the woodwork to protest and rally during the months since January 2011 when the first bill was filed. Everyone knew it was an overreaching amendment, but at its heart, it would leave North Carolina on the wrong side of history. And so it was up to organizations like Equality NC and All of Us NC to kind of pick up the charge post-September once this was on the ballot, and really work with other groups all across the state, whether it be the NAACP or Southerners on New Ground, to really reach out to communities that hadn't been told that this was on the ballot and educate them and mobilize them going into May.
Tiffany Inigo, how did you get involved? Tiffany, let me start with you. How did you get involved?
All of Us hosted a training for trainers in December in Greensboro, and I was at that training, and the purpose of the training was to get a core group of folks together who would go into rural counties, go into actually all 100 counties in North Carolina, and hold workshops mobilizing folks in each county to get out the vote and to just make people's presence known. And so I was at that training in Greensboro in December.
How about you, Nico? How did you get involved?
Well, I've been a member of SONG for a number of years, which is one of the kind of the founding organizations. All of Us NC is a coalition, actually, of a bunch of different organizations in North Carolina. But my first real physical interface with it was actually at HK on J, which is the an annual march in Raleigh organized by the NAACP. And All of Us NC had a really large, vibrant contingent as part of that event that I marched in.
Jen, we talked about a couple of times here this idea that you were going to go from county to county and at once mobilize people, get out the vote. Would that suggest that you're going to find like-minded people and make sure they vote? But there was another component to this whole project. Talk about that.
Well, we thought that there could be a supporter in anyone. And so Equality NC, concurrently with All of Us NC, ran a campaign called Race to the Ballot. And it was quite literally in response to remarks by Mecklenburg County Commissioner Bill James, who said the justification for Amendment 1 was, we don't want them here. as a lifelong North Carolinian, that was a complete affront to me. Mm. And so instead of running us out of the state, we decided to run across it. I don't have a body for radio, but I can tell you I'm 240 pounds and 5'7". And running 322 miles across this state was a challenge.
You literally ran.
Yes, sir.
I mean, we're talking about this is not a figurative term here.
Well, we thought we needed people to pay attention. And all of us did a great job of doing that in a lot of the counties that had not had attention with them. And I'm from a rural county in eastern North Carolina, and I thought it was important, like them, to get out and mobilize and educate voters, not just in our major metropolitan areas, but in those places as well. And so it became a campaign, a 322-mile run, which culminated in 2,500 miles worth of events that we partner with all of us all across the state and other coalition partners in the campaign, which was a little bit of outreach, a little bit of getting the media involved, a little bit of fundraising, but most importantly, starting those strong coalition partnerships that we have now between Equality NC and all of us NC.
I'm glad you got to the 2,200 part, because actually 322 is a long run, but it does not take you across the state
not
of
enough.
North Carolina.
Not enough.
So what happens, Madhu, this idea of going into places where you might not find a lot of friends, but you expect that maybe there are some people there who can't speak out precisely because most people there would support the amendment. I mean, were you ready for this? This is a different kind of conversation, to confront people who don't agree with you. Well, how do you prepare for that?
Yeah, our workshops, which were popular education based, were precisely around that, developing that skill with each other, that we could practice having those conversations and practice having strategic conversations with the people who we have relationships with in the institutions that we're already a part of. And through that process also get better at talking with strangers to move the vote. And this feels like part of a much bigger trajectory. I mean, we weren't inventing this skill of relational organizing. We see it as part of a civil rights movement legacy. And we get some of that sense of civil rights legacy by being anchored by an organization called Southerners on New Ground that was founded by six Southern lesbians, three Black lesbians and three white lesbians, showing that you could connect race, class, gender, sexuality, immigration, ability, like work on all these issues at once, leave no one behind.
But tactically, how does that work on the ground when you get into, say, a rural county where you don't expect to find a lot of sympathy for this? Where do you meet and how do you advertise? And do you really expect people who don't agree with you to show up?
Well, it wasn't a very flashy campaign. You know, the way that we did our work was through encouraging neighbors to have conversations with neighbors. And I think the trick was really doing good listening and being able to meet people around what mattered most to them, and valuing the relationship most. So it wasn't about strong-arming someone into voting a certain way, but it was about saying, we're going to be together for the long haul, so you might as well know that this amendment's going to affect me.
Did people come who didn't agree with you? Tiffany?
Did people come who didn't agree with us? Well, first I want to kind of build off of what Manju said. In Wilson, North Carolina, there had been a big rally in support of the amendment, and there were a group of Wilsonians who contacted all of us, and it was six folks from Greensboro and Durham went there to hold a workshop, and who came was not the folks who were organizing in Durham or Greensboro or these big urban centers, but it was people rooted in Wilson who had seen this protest in favor and were like, we want to do something. And they were like, we don't know how to talk about it. There were so many churches driving through there. They felt that support of this amendment was synonymous with being good Christians. And these were Christian folks who were like, we don't think that's true. How do we talk to other Christians about this? And luckily, through this coalition building, there were so many clergy who were against the amendment, who were coming out in full force and using these talking points rooted in their faith about why this amendment was so nefarious. And the folks in Wilson just didn't have that language yet to respond to these more vocal, their vocal opponents. And so that was a great turnout. I didn't know how many to expect to be there. There ended up being close to 40 people who then went out and talked to their neighbors who they felt might not be able to hear them. And that was the point of it.
This is something that just might not have happened had there not been this this organization, the vocabulary, as you suggested, and just the fact that you could look around and see people who did agree with you in your county. But Jen, you are also organized something. You all organized something called lock-ins. Tell us about those.
Well, we thought it was important. You know, I had an early conversation with Pam Spalding, as Manji mentioned. She was, you know, she's very prolific on the national stage. And when we thought about touring the entire state, it made sense to stay overnight in churches. So quite literally, we had lock-ins and had conversations overnight with faith communities in towns like Bakersville. Bakersville, 327 people, I believe, 120 came to our town hall meeting. One side was completely bussed in, people of faith who were ardently for the amendment. The other half were from the Pinland arts community, virulently opposed to the amendment, and hosted by a panel of coalition partners, including the Mitchell County GSA. And that was an incredibly iconic moment for the race and for this coalition building, because we were able to talk face to face with North Carolinians and say to them, if your families were under attack, we'd come and protect them as well. And we're just here to protect all North Carolina families, and that's what our coalition was about.
Did it get heated? Was it ever confrontational?
Absolutely. One pastor stood up and told one of the mothers on the panel that because she was not the biological parent of her child, she didn't love it as much as, you know, other families love their child. And at that point, all the women who had come in the church bus gasped, and we knew we had them because women are smart. So it was one of those moments where in talking about being a proponent for the amendment, there were no good arguments. And that resonated in meeting after meeting in rural areas all across the state.
It is interesting, Nago, to think about how this works, because if you have people gathered in a room and they think they came as part of one group, and suddenly a statement like that puts them in the context of being in another group, a group that they hadn't, it changes everything. But it does mean you have to be in the room, which is the part of sort of social networking that gets lost, I think, in the virtual world. Did you learn anything from this in terms of you know, sort of a throwback, an old-style organizing where you actually put people in a room? Or was this something that had always been obvious to you?
No, well, yeah, I mean, there's no substitute for face-to-face because of the emotion. And the connection that you make, and you can't. You're never going to get that without seeing the person face to face. And I think that even just realizing that these are, you know, that queer people are people that you know, that they're in your life, and they're integral to your life. I think that makes a huge impact on people. Absolutely.
Nago is your nurse.
Is a nurse?
I'm a nurse. I don't know if I'm your nurse, but yeah, I am a nurse, yeah.
You don't get more face-to-face.
Right.
No, that's true. Oh. Yeah, you can't really do that. You can't do that on Facebook. when you need to change the bandage, you need to be in the room.
Absolutely.
And yet, social media was certainly a very important part of this, right? Tell us how that played a part.
Absolutely. You know, we had documentary filmmakers follow us largely because we wanted people to watch. And so not only did we circulate that on YouTube, but any of our coalition partner events, we would film, we would live tweet, using various hashtags, Amendment 1 being one, Equality Action being another, ever mindful that, in order to circulate this among our own community, largely, we had to get the word out on the Facebox and the Twitter and the interwebs and let people know as best they could that they could share this with people who didn't know about the amendment and, more importantly, weren't sure whether they were going to be for or against it. And that became very powerful throughout the campaign, is a social media effort that started with our own supporters but ended up being converts at the end.
You talked about the networking that's part of this. Nago, you mentioned HK on J, which was a kind of coalition building that was led by the NAACP, but now it's become a much, much larger thing. Were coalitions built, do you think, in this process?
Oh, I think so. Absolutely. Yeah. Should we name all the organizations that are actually in All of Us and see? I don't know if I can do it totally.
It might just get kind of dull, but it's a lot of them, right?
Yeah.
But well, new organizations. I mean, right. The idea of organizations that might be a little surprising or didn't think they had anything to do with you, perhaps.
Mm-hmm. So there was El Cambio and
Democracy North Carolina.
Democracy NC.
Equality supported us mm-hmm. big time.
Yeah.
And the very fact that you talked about churches and of course, the support of William Barber, the NAACP, an outspoken critic of Amendment 1, that's new for the African-American community, leadership in African-American churches. What kind of response, what did you see around the state from African-American communities?
Well, go ahead.
Well, I can speak about this. So that there seems to be this unfounded or just unsupported that fact that gets out there, and I did air quotes on the radio, but regardless, that African-American communities are somehow harder to reach out to or whatnot. But the fact is that what's not unique about All of Us, but what was really pushed by All of Us is that there is no separation between the queer community and the African-American community, that there are Black queer people. And Reverend Barber has recently said, you know, there are folks in your churches, at your dinner tables, in your families, and they are fighting for rights along racial lines, and they're also fighting for rights around queer lines. And so I worked in a predominantly Black precinct in Greensboro on Election Day, and it was a lot of older Black folk, reminded me a lot of my grandparents. And just talking with folks as they were going in, overwhelmingly, they were against this amendment, and they were very clear about it. And some of them would say, I do think that marriage is between a man and a woman, but this amendment doesn't have anything to do with that. And there was this great moment where a guy had gone to vote, had looked at the rolls and had seen that his son had not voted yet. Mm. And his son had lied to him and said he had voted earlier that day. And so dad drove home, got his son out of bed and marched him back to the polls. Wow. And was like, look, boy, like I worked really hard to get the vote. Mm. And like you have to carry this mantle. And I just think it really worked. In the five major metropolitan centers, all Black precincts voted against this amendment. And so I think that this North Carolina campaign has really challenged this national narrative of the folks that queer people have to worry about is the Black community. Mm. It's not true.
Yes. So what happens now, Jen?
Well, you know, we're participating with All of Us NC and other coalition partners in the post-campaign movement, which is essentially town hall meetings, capitalizing on a lot of the energy that came about because of Amendment 1. We have a town hall meeting tonight at 7 p.m. in Siler City and, you know, many more in Greensboro, especially I think it's coming up on the...
Right. There's one in Durham on the 13th. And at the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship, Eno River. And there's one in Greensboro on the 18th at College Park Baptist Church.
Does this have broader implications, broader this coalition, broader political implications, or is this all aimed at the amendment?
Well, absolutely. I mean, you know, the energy from the amendment has left people frustrated and wondering what to do next. And what to do next is make sure this never happens again. That comes from a series of action steps, including electing pro-equality candidates come November. So we'll be mobilizing many of the people who came out of the woodwork because of the amendment campaign moving forward at 15 town hall meetings across the state in areas close to you in both our rural hubs and our major metropolitan areas, and it's going to be amazing.
You're going to go through a few pairs of shoes. I am out of time. We're going to have to say thank you, but thanks so much for being on the program. Jen Jones, Communications Director for Equality NC, Maju Rajendran, Tiffany Holland, and Nego Crossan are organizers of All of Us NC. And you can find out more at equalitync.org or allofususnc.org. Coming up, how informed citizens saved a mountain in western North Carolina. More political activism on the state of things. Stay tuned.